promises. And I've done what I've required to do, Lord, and I ask God that you would make a way and that you would satisfy this need. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you bless it for the kingdom of God. I pray that you'd multiply it. Lord, I pray that you bless the homes represented here tonight, the jobs represented here. I pray, God, that you would let there be increase. I pray that you let there be blessings. Let there be open doors where we don't even expect it, Lord. I pray that you would bless the fruit that we are sowing into tonight, God, that you would multiply it for your use. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you as you give tonight. And just a couple of quick announcements. First of all, I want to mention this is an exciting one, but next week, October the 7th, can you believe it's October already? Next week, October the 7th, we will be resuming our Harvest Kids classes on Wednesday nights, okay? So that'll be an exciting development. And for all of you parents, there will be some instructions that you'll need to follow. There'll be some, we're going to take some precautions and all of that and do the best that we can to be safe here. So if you would please work with our staff, we appreciate it. We're going to be trying our best to take temperatures and all that kind of stuff for the time being, and so they'll be giving you instructions on that. Also, immediately after service tonight, the Harvest Kids, all Harvest Kids elementary staff, all of you elementary staff, right after service, there will be a tag in for you right after service in the event center. And so please remember that. And I know that Sister Long will give you instructions and all of that, but we're looking forward to getting back into our regular routine. And we're working on our youth activities and events and small groups and leadership groups and all of that. And so just stay tuned. Stay tuned. Praise the Lord. John chapter 9. We're going to go to the word of the Lord. John chapter 9. And I'm thankful for everyone that is here. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm praying for you. I hope you're praying for me. And we're going to get through this together. The Lord is in control. Praise the Lord. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And tonight I want to speak to us on this subject, while the miracle waits. While the miracle waits. Has anybody ever had a miracle wait? Is anybody just right now, you got a miracle that's waiting somewhere? I don't know where, but it's waiting. Amen. Well, God's going to help us here tonight. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's have a little mini lesson to start off here tonight. We're going to get a little test. Okay, you ready? Of the 9 gifts of the Spirit that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 12, there are two of them that are very, very similar. Okay, does anybody remember the gifts of the Spirit? We had some teaching on that, but there's two of them that are very similar. The gifts of healing and the working of miracles. They're very similar. They are both the supernatural power of God working in someone's life. Now, can anyone tell me the main difference between these two? The working of miracles and the gifts of healing. Somebody. Sister Brooklyn. Wow, you were listening. Good. For those Amen. For those of you that didn't hear that, the main difference between these two is time. Okay? The working of miracles, that's an instance, generally an instant thing, while healing is something that's more over the process of time. Okay? So whether it's a few minutes, a few days, a few weeks, or months, miracles are generally instant, while healing takes time. Now, let me ask us a question here tonight. If we were able to choose whether it was a miracle or a healing, okay, whether it was the instant supernatural work or a supernatural work over time, which one would you choose? Okay, all right, probably everybody here said a miracle, of course. We would rather have it now instead of having to wait. But sometimes even the miracle waits, and we're going to be talking about that here tonight. Because in our timing, it's different than God's timing. Sometimes God has already set things into motion. It is done as far as He is concerned. But we're on a different time scale. And sometimes we have to wait a little bit. Sometimes it happens instantly in our realm, in our dimension. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we have to wait. Now, that does not make God any less powerful. In fact, sometimes He does even a greater work when He does it over time. There's some times for Him to work all of that out, there's a lot of details that have to come together, and it takes time. But in the end, it's something greater than if it would have just happened in an instant. Now, tonight we're going to look at what are we to do if the miracle doesn't come right away on our timetable? And what if we find ourselves waiting? What do we do while the miracle waits? In our text tonight, we read of a man who he was blind from birth. Later on in the chapter, it speaks of him being of age. He was of age. And so in that day, it meant that he was at least 13 years old. But more likely, he was perhaps 20 or 30 years of age. That meant that for at least 13, but maybe for up to 30 years, this man had been waiting for a miracle. It had not come yet. Can you imagine with me when he was a child and all the other kids would go out in the neighborhood to play? Mama would say, no, you're going to stay in the yard because you're not like all the other kids. You're blind. No doubt as a child, they're maybe sitting on the front porch while all the other kids were somewhere else in the neighborhood. He probably prayed, God, if you know I'm here, would you heal these eyes and let me see? Maybe as a teenager, he'd gone to the temple with his parents, and there in that religious place, there had been sacrifices given and prayers sent up to heaven that he would receive his sight. It had been a long time. He had been blind from birth. Most likely, he had probably given up on that childhood dream of one day being able to see. He probably stop praying as fervently about it, maybe even accepting his condition, determined he would just make the best of his situation because the miracle just hadn't happened. Now, I'm a miracle preacher. I believe in miracles. I preach about miracles. I've heard about miracles all of my life. I've seen miracles happen. This is a church where miracles happen, thank the Lord. And God is able to do absolutely anything. There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. And we've seen it happen, and we will see it happen again. Miracles and signs and wonders. And oh, how exciting when God performs a miracle. And we're quick to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise because we can't make it happen ourselves. It's the power of God. It's His favor. It's His goodness. And thank God for miracles. Hallelujah. But what about when the miracle hasn't happened? What do we do when the miracle waits? Oh, we've prayed about it, and it just hasn't come to pass. We've believed God, but we're still dealing with it. We've worshiped like it had already happened, but it hasn't already happened. We spoke the word of faith, but we get up the next morning and here we go again. We're still dealing with the same stuff. What do we do in situations like that while the miracle waits? You know, we really don't like waiting. And it really comes, it's just a product of our surroundings because everything is instant now. There's instant oatmeal. And there's instant rice and instant mashed potatoes. And I don't like any of those. But it's just, there's instant tea. I don't like that either. But it's a product of our culture. There's microwaves and air fryers. And, oh, if you have an air fryer, you're probably one of those people. They're always talking about how you got to get an air fryer. Pressure cookers and all of these things designed to keep us from having to wait. If we go to a restaurant and that order takes longer than 15 to 20 minutes to get to us, we start getting a little antsy. If we pull through a drive-thru and they ask us, well, it's not quite ready, can you pull up and park and wait? We get aggravated. We don't like having to wait. Is there anybody here that you just absolutely love going to the driver's license office? We all hate it. Why? Because we always have to wait. Who enjoys sitting in the waiting room at the doctor's office or the dentist or the mechanic shop or even waiting in line in Walmart? We don't like it one bit. We don't like to wait. Credit cards are very telling of when it comes to this, because it used to be that when someone had their eyes on a big item to purchase, something that they couldn't afford right now, well, it used to be that they'd have to wait to buy it. And they'd take a little money every week or every month and they'd put it aside. And when they'd saved that money after a number of weeks or maybe longer, and maybe it was months or years, but finally when they'd saved toward that goal, then they'd go and buy it. But now when people want something they don't have money to buy, they just go buy it with a credit card. Because we don't like waiting. Why wait when it's just so easy to swipe that plastic and you don't even feel it. It's not like when you lay the cash down, you're like, No, you just swipe it and it's done. And it's just so easy. We'll worry about, you know, paying it later when we get the bill. But that's just a product of our culture. Psalm 130 and 5 tells us, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. You see, there's a connection between waiting and hope. There's a connection between waiting and hope. You have a little kid that's saving up to buy something and it's going to take them some time and they think about that and they put a few dollars and some coins and all that together and they're waiting for this big purchase of this bicycle or whatever it might be and there's something that starts rising in them. It's called hope. It's called hope. And there's actually a lack of hope in our world today because we've lost the art of waiting. There's an art of waiting. It's an awesome thing. It's powerful. It motivates us. It keeps us focused. If we're making plans for the future and we're having to work to get there, to save and to prepare and to learn and whatever it takes to get to that goal, we learn to wait. And that builds hope for our lives. That builds hope for the future and hope for what we're waiting for. No wonder many people don't have hope. It's because they've never learned the art of waiting. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, when it comes to the things of God, we often try to look at them the same way, from the same perspective as the culture around us. Because we want the blessing right now. We want a quick work, Lord. Do a quick work. We want an instant miracle. We want deliverance right now. Don't make us wait for it, God. Don't make us have to wait and have to pray and have to trust you and believe you when it doesn't happen right away. No, God, we want it now. And Lord, if you don't do it right now, we're going to go around you and we're going to try to fix it ourselves. Because we don't want to wait. We don't want to trust the process. Do you remember Abraham and Sarah? God had promised them. He promised that he'd make of Abraham a great nation. His descendants would be as many as the stars, like the sand on the seashore. But Abraham was old. And Sarah was past the time of bearing children. And so they grew tired of waiting on the miracle. And they tried to help God out a little. And the effects of their desire to help God and hurry things along have meant chaos for the world ever since. It is better to wait on God. It is better to trust His word. It is better to let Him work all the details out in His time. David said in Psalm 25 and 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Yes, it's a process, but in the waiting, God shows us His ways. He teaches us His paths. He leads us in truth. Through the waiting, we are learning. We are growing. He is developing us. He is preparing us. It's not that God is inactive during that time of waiting. He's not just sitting around and taking it easy and doing nothing, but in the waiting, He is working. He is busy. It's a season of preparation. He's getting us ready for what He's going to do. While the miracle waits, we better not miss the process. We better not miss out on what God is trying to do to get us ready. Isaiah 40 and 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We might feel like we're in a season of waiting right now. It's like the whole world is in a season of waiting right now, waiting for what's next. And oh, we'd all love to move forward. Let's get 2020 over, but we're just waiting. I posted something on Facebook, and I don't always post things on Facebook, but I said, "Can we just get to November 3rd already? Can we just get, I don't think anybody's going to change their mind between now and then. Let's just go ahead and get there. November 3rd or December 3rd or January 3rd or February 3rd or however long it's going to take to count all the votes, can we just get there already and get past this?" I want to tell you, God's got that all worked out. I've got feelings about it. You've got feelings about it. But God's got it worked out. And He's in control. But we're waiting. And trust me, during this time, God is not idle, but God is working. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody here tonight, you need to take advantage of this season and let your strength be renewed by the Lord. You need to receive what God has for you in this time. Let Him prepare you for the miracle He's about to perform in your life. Oh, I know you're waiting, but make it a productive time that God is going to teach you and help you grow through this. Now, I've never been diagnosed, and it comes and goes, so I don't know if it's official, but every once in a while, I get to feeling a little ADD, ADHD. I don't know. Not AD, okay, AD, LMNOP, something, I don't know. You know, when you're sitting somewhere and sitting in a drive-thru line and it's just taking, and I get ADD, Brother Long, I'm ready. Come on, let's go, let's go. Can I get out of this line? Let's go, let's go. Sometimes people get spiritual ADD. Have you ever thought about it that way? We get focused on something we believe God for. And we pray and we seek the Lord about it and we ask Him to open the door. And God, would you do the work and would you give us the miracle? And then somewhere, sometimes it's rather quickly, somehow we lose that focus. And then we're on to something else. And yes, sometimes God does it instantly, but other times there's a process. But because we have spiritual ADD, we're missing the process. And we've forgotten about the miracle we asked God for in the first place. The miracle that He's working in our behalf. And because we're not focused on what He's wanting to do for us, we miss out on the miracle that we asked Him for in the beginning. It didn't come like we thought it should come. It didn't happen like we saw it happening. It wasn't the way that we had it worked out in our head. And so we gave up and we moved on to something else. And we just go from prayer to prayer and from focus to focus. And God's saying, hey, would you slow down? I've got some things, but you might have to wait a little bit for it. We've missed out on the process. We missed the lessons. We forfeited the benefits that we could have received, the faith that could have been built, the hope that we could now have. We missed out on what God was doing because it didn't fit our time schedule. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus that their brother was sick. We read in John 11 and 4, when Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." That was a promise from God. This sickness is not unto death, but the process was for the glory of God. And then Jesus, instead of getting the first donkey ride to Bethany, He takes His time. And then after several days, read with me in John 11, 14. "Then said Jesus unto them plainly," it's changed, "Lazarus is dead." And notice verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." He said, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there, so that you might believe. In other words, there was a purpose to his waiting. It was to help their faith. Faith isn't built during an instant work. Faith doesn't come when there's no waiting. Faith isn't exercised when there's no need. And sometimes God has a bigger plan in mind. There's a purpose to His waiting. There's a reason why the miracle waits. It's to help our faith. He says, let's go to Him. And when He gets there, Martha, Lazarus' sister, she comes to Him and she says, "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Her sister Mary, she didn't even come out of the house when Jesus got there, but He called for her. And when she came out, she said, "If you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But that wasn't the plan of God. And read John 11, 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see." And verse 35, Jesus wept. I want us to get something from this, and I feel like somebody needs this here tonight so desperately. Look how Jesus was moved. He wept. The Prince of Peace, the Savior of the whole earth, the mighty God in Christ, Jesus wept. When he saw Mary weeping, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled, and there was a struggle that went on inside of him because he was so troubled to see his friends like this. But there was a greater purpose to it all, and had they not gone through that, then none of those gathered there that day could have heard the authority in his voice as he commanded Lazarus, come forth. And none of them could have experienced that awesome miracle that caused many in that area to believe on him. It would not have happened if they had not gone through it. It would not have happened if he showed up on their time schedule. It would not happen if there wasn't a period of waiting. And here's what somebody needs to hear tonight. There's a greater purpose in your waiting. There's a greater plan in the midst of your struggle. There's a turmoil and trouble and all of this that you're going through, but it's part of a bigger picture and more than just quick deliverance. Sometimes God's got something that's more important, something, oh, that you might believe, that your faith can be built, that you learn some things in the waiting, that you grow while the miracle waits. Don't let the enemy tell you that God doesn't know where you're at, that he doesn't care what you're going through, that he doesn't see your pain and your struggle and the burden you're bearing. I tell you, he sees it. He sees it. Yes, there's a struggle, but just as he wept with Mary that day, he feels our pain and he sees our struggle, but there's a greater purpose. There's something more important involved, and in his grace and in his mercy, he allows the miracle to wait a little while longer. Somebody just needs to thank God for the trial you're in right now. You just need to thank God for the trouble. You need to thank God. Come on, maybe you've been complaining to God. You've been complaining a little bit. Lord, why haven't you heard me? I've been praying. Maybe it's been years. Lord, why are you waiting so long? God, you know what I need. Why hasn't the miracle come to pass yet? Come on, it's easy to get frustrated from our point of view, but from heaven's perspective, there's a greater purpose, and that's why the miracle waits. So there's a process. There's a period of waiting. And if we've prayed and believed and the miracle hasn't happened yet, what should we do? What do we do while the miracle waits? I tell you what we do. We submit to the process. And we submit to the faithfulness of God. God, I trust you. God, I submit to whatever plans you have for me. Whatever you're trying to do through this, God, you're in control. Lord, my life is yours, and however you're wanting to bring greater good, Lord, just let it be. Whatever you want to do, God, I submit to your purpose and your plan. I always like to give us some practical thoughts on how to move forward, and so we submit to this process, God, but what does that look like? What exactly do we do every day while we're waiting? How do we keep from going crazy during this season? How exactly do we submit to the process that God has for our lives? Number one, we submit through prayer. We submit through prayer. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says that Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And they go to Jerusalem, and they gather in an upper room. And Acts 1 and 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. While we wait for him by faith, we must seek him by prayer. We seek His will. We seek His direction. We seek His blessing. We seek His favor upon our lives. We seek the answer that He has for us through prayer. We seek the lessons that He has for us in the waiting. I want to tell you, if your miracle waits, if your miracle is waiting, then you need to be praying like never before, because you're in the waiting room. You're in the waiting room and something is happening and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to get distracted, but right now is the critical moment and God is up to something. The miracle is waiting, but God is moving, and now is the time more than ever you need to pray. First of all, prayer. We seek Him by prayer, and our seeking, it helps us keep waiting. Those who seek Him will find Him. One of the disciples heard Jesus praying, and he came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And a few verses later, Jesus says in Luke 11:9, He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, we want the answer right now. We want the miracle right away. If we don't get it fast, we give up and we move on to something else. But we miss this. Oh, for people that know how to pray. Oh, for saints of God that know how to ask the Lord for it. And they know how to seek it until they find it. They know how to keep knocking at the door until it's opened unto them. What do we do while the miracle waits? We pray. We stay in a spirit of prayer. We draw near to God in prayer. Prayer has a way of working on us. Come on, when you're really in a spirit of prayer, prayer has a way of working on you. It has a way of revealing things about your heart. It has a way for the Lord to get way down deep inside and say, hey, here's some things we need to talk about. Prayer has a way of bringing into focus the will of God for our life. It will direct us in the right steps. It will open doors. It will draw us near to Him. If there's anything in our life that God is not pleased with, prayer helps bring it to the surface. And we can repent and we can move forward while the miracle waits. You need to pray. Secondly, what do we do while the miracle waits? We better be in the Word. We better be in the Word. Psalms 119 and 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need the Word of God. We need it to show our feet where to go. We need it to light our path, to direct us and guide us in His will. Come on, we need the Word of God to direct us so we can be in the right place when the miracle comes. If we just launch out on our own, we might miss the miracle. We might be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But God gives us direction in waiting through His Word. Psalm 25:4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. Somebody just thank God for His Word right now. Lord, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for thy truth. I thank you for your promises. I thank you, Lord, for your Word. Oh, God, help me to fall in love with your Word. Help me to fall in love with your truth, oh, God. Come on, if it's been too long since you sat down and found a quiet place with your Bible, you need to make sure you make that a priority. You need to do it tonight before you go to bed. You need to do it first thing in the morning. God, I've got to get in the Word because I need you to direct me, God. I need you to show me the way to go in this season of waiting. What do we do while the miracle waits? We practice faithfulness. Faithfulness. Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Oh, for a faithful servant. that the Lord can find doing their job when he comes, doing what they're supposed to do, being faithful when he returns, faithful to what we've been called to, faithful to the house of God, faithful in giving, faithful when it's not easy, faithful when it's a struggle, faithful when we're tired. But blessed is that servant that the Lord's going to find remaining faithful when he comes. Faithful, dependable, accountable, honorable, responsible. We could spend time on every one of those. Faithful, dependable, accountable, honorable, responsible. What will the Lord find us doing when he comes? I want to tell you, we've got a job to do. It's not up to somebody else to get us to heaven. We got to be ready ourselves. None of us are going to go to heaven on the coattails of anybody else. It's going to be based on our relationship with God. We've got to pray. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be accountable. What is it about accountability that helps us, that helps us be in the will of God? Because we're submitting to the process. That we're submitting ourselves to authority. We're saying, I'm not my own, but I've been bought with a price. And that goes against the spirit of this world. People in this world don't want to be accountable. They don't want to answer to anyone. And some in the church might have too much of the world in them because they bristle at the thought of being accountable. But the real issue is they're not faithful. They're not sold out. They're not where they need to be with God. While the miracle waits, we've got to pray, we've got to be in the Word, and we've got to be faithful. And lastly tonight, we've got to be serving. We need more waiters in the church. We need more waiters in the church. The Old Testament, it speaks about those who would wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Doesn't mean they were standing around waiting, but they would wait, they would serve. What do waiters do? They serve. Our purpose here at Harvest, our mission statement, love God, grow in faith, serve others, go change the world. There's a sequence to that. There's a sequence to how that all works. It starts with an experience of God's love. And then there's got to be some growing in faith. And some would like to just skip right along to go change the world. But it will never happen unless we're a servant and we serve others. Jesus said in Matthew 20:27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, Pastor, I'm claiming a miracle. I'm believing. I feel like God's promised it. I believe it, but it's not happened yet. What do I do while the miracle waits? You serve. You humble yourself as a servant. You find whatever you can do to help others. You be uplifting. You be encouraging. You serve around the church. You serve those that can't help themselves. You do what you can to be a servant. And when he comes, and when the miracle comes through, he'll find you doing what he's called you to do, serving in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What do we do while the miracle waits? You need to give yourself to prayer. You need to read and study the Word. You need to go above and beyond to be faithful and take on the form of a servant. That's what we do while the miracle waits. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? And as Jesus passed by, our text said that he saw a man who was blind from birth. For at least 13 years, maybe as much as 30, this man had never been able to see. We don't know his mindset. We don't know if Perhaps he had given up on his miracle. We don't know all that he had gone through, but look at what some of what he had to deal with. The disciples asked Jesus, "Master, who did sin?" They were so sure in their heart that somebody had sinned. "Master, who did sin? Was it this man or his parents that he was blind from birth?" That was the struggle that this man dealt with every day. People looking down on him, "Well, that's what you get for being a sinner. That's what you have to deal with for messing up like you must have done somewhere along the way. Yeah, your parents really must have been bad for you to end up like this." How would we like to live under that burden, under that condemnation? But look at what Jesus said, John 9:3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." It wasn't anything like the disciples thought. And it wasn't anything like the culture had taught them. It wasn't anything like what no doubt had caused this man to perhaps believe about himself or about his parents. And he'd been through this for somewhere maybe 13 to 30 years. So that people, it wasn't anything like that, but it was because God wanted people to see the works of God displayed through him. If your miracle is waiting, no doubt the enemy has told you over and over and over again, it's because you're out of the will of God. It's because you've sinned. It's because you've messed up. And now the miracle's never going to come to pass. You've blown it. But I want to tell you, it may not be for anything like that. You make sure you're right with the Lord, but then you need to realize it could be that it's not any of those things. It could just be that your miracle is waiting. Maybe it's been 13 years or even more, but your miracle is waiting. So at the right time, in the plan of God, at the right moment in his perfect will, people are going to see the works of God displayed through your life. "Who sinned, Lord, that this man is blind? Was it him or is it his parents?" And oh, they had another thing coming. God opened their mind. They opened their eyes that day. It wasn't for any of that. It was because God said 13 years ago or 30 years ago when that little baby was born, "You know what? I've got something I'm going to do. And it's going to be a struggle, and it's going to be painful, I know, but there's something I'm wanting to do. I want people to see the glory of God through this man." Don't give up on that miracle. But you keep praying, you keep in the word, you keep faithful, you keep serving, and you wait on God's timing. Quite some time ago, I felt like the Lord spoke to me from a couple of verses of scripture. There's some parallel scriptures, and someone actually came to me with some scriptures in another book that parallel this. And today the Lord reminded me of this, and I feel like this could be for someone here tonight. Habakkuk. You might not read Habakkuk very much. Habakkuk 2 and verse 2 and 3. "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." The vision is for a future time, and it will yet be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. If it tarries, if it seems like it's slow in coming, Well, while the miracle waits, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will not be delayed. While the miracle waits, it could be that God has already done it. It could be that it's already done. It just hasn't happened in our dimension of time yet. And it may seem like it's taken a long while, but God's timing and our timing, oh, they've got to get in sync. And when that happens, the miracle will happen. It will not be delayed. Oh, come on. So while your miracle waits, you keep trusting in God, and you keep praying, and you keep in the Word, and you keep faithful, and you keep serving, because there will be a day that the miracle waits no more, but it shall come to pass. Oh, come on, somebody that you're in the waiting room, would you reach out to the Lord? Would you let your faith be strengthened in this house? Would you receive a word from the Lord tonight? Lord God, help me in this period of waiting. Help me in this season. Help me in this time to trust you, oh God. I'm not giving up on that miracle. I'm not giving up on that promise. I'm not going to throw in the towel, Lord, but I'm trusting that you will do it. You will perform the work. You will bring it to pass. And I'm going to come through this stronger. And I'm going to give you glory through it, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody, let the Lord encourage you here tonight. He's not finished with you. He knows right where you are. He knows right exactly what you're going through. But it's all in the plan. It's all working for your good. It's all in this season of waiting. Because God's got a miracle in store for you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray, God, that you would work in us. I pray that you would move in us.
Would you reach over somebody that you're sitting with, that you've been around there? Would you just take them by the hand if it's appropriate? Put your arm around them and say, come on, we're in the waiting, but God's working. We're in the waiting, but God's working. He's not idle. He's not doing nothing, but he's working behind the scenes. He's working. The miracle is coming. The promise is on the way. Come on, encourage somebody tonight. Come on, you can make it. You can make it. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep reading the Word. Come on, keep faithful. Keep serving God in this season, because he's working behind the scenes. Oh, harabatoria.